And welcome to Midday. I'm Tom Hall here in Studio A, and today we're going to continue our series of conversations with the candidates. My guest is Delegate Joe Vogel. He's a Democrat, one of 16 candidates running for Congress in the 6th Congressional District. The incumbent in that seat, Representative David Trone, is running for the Senate against Prince George's County Executive Angela Alsobrooks. There are 9 candidates in the Republican primary for the 6th District, including Delegate Neil Parrott, who's run as his party's nominee 2 other times, and Dan Cox, the Republican nominee for governor in 2022. District 6 in the northwest part of our state includes all of Garrett, Allegheny, Frederick, and Washington counties, as well as part of Montgomery County. The general election in the 6th is expected to be one of the most hotly contested in the country. Joe Vogel was elected to the House of Delegates in 2022 to represent District 17 in Montgomery County. He's a member of the Ways and Means Committee, and at 27 years old, he is the youngest member currently serving in the Maryland General Assembly. If elected to the House of Representatives, he will be the first openly gay man and the first Latino to represent Maryland in Congress. His election as a member of the General Assembly is his first time serving in public office, but he's not necessarily new to politics. He served as an intern for former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and in the office of Senator Cory Booker. He also worked on the presidential campaigns of Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. He also served on the campaign staff of Senator Cheryl Kagan, a state senator who represents the district that Vogel now serves. Joe Vogel was born in Montevideo, Uruguay. He emigrated to the United States as a toddler. He holds an undergraduate degree from George Washington University and a master's in public policy from Harvard. He lives in Gaithersburg. He is single. You are welcome to join our conversation with Delegate Joe Vogel, who joins us on Zoom. You can drop us an email, midday@wypr.org. You can give us a call, and this number is different than the number you call to make a pledge in our spring membership campaign. Our midday number, 410-662-8780. Delegate Joe Vogel, welcome to the show. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be with you.
So why Congress? Why politics in general? What is your what forms the fundament of your interest in this profession?
Well, look, I think we're in a once-in-a-generation moment, and that the challenges that we're facing right now, be it the climate crisis, the threats to our democracy, the attacks on our fundamental rights, the gun violence epidemic, the mental health crisis, the decisions that are being made right now in legislatures and the halls of Congress are having a profound impact right now, but they're also defining the future, the future for generations to come. And I want to be in the arena making sure that we shape decisions that leave our country in a strong place for not just for this generation, but for generations to come as well.
It's a crowded arena, 435 members in the House of Representatives. And of course, in the last several years in particular, the political polarity and the gridlock in Congress, in the House in particular, has really been on full display. I mean, it was just on display this last weekend when, after months and months and months, finally Congress was able to pass foreign aid for Ukraine, for Israel, for Taiwan, and et cetera. To overcome this gridlock, to overcome this huge trench between the left and the right, what's it going to take, and what can you, as one of 435, do to overcome it?
Well, we have to turn the page, right, and elect a new generation of leaders focused on solving problems and not on contributing to the toxicity, the divide, the chaos that we see in Washington. I'm very glad to see that Congress moved forward on the aid package. It took way too long. It sent a signal to our adversaries and our allies, and not a good signal. And look, in the legislature, I've been focused on delivering bipartisan results. Many of the bills that I've sponsored and gotten passed have passed with unanimous support, almost all with bipartisan support. I've co-sponsored bills with Republican legislators. And I'll point out one more thing, right? Over at this point, close to a dozen members of Congress, sitting members of Congress, who are doing the job right now, who know what it takes to get things done in Washington, have endorsed our campaign significantly more than any other candidate in this race. They know who the best candidate for this job is.
So if you are to win the primary and you win the general election, you would be one of only two members of Congress born in the 1990s. The average age of folks in this current Congress is 58 years old. That's actually 3 years younger than the last Congress, the 117th Congress. So 3 years ago, it was 60-something. Now it's 58 years old. You and one other congressman from Florida, I believe, is would be the only two in their 20s. You'd also be the first Latino in the Maryland Congressional delegation and the first openly gay member of the Maryland Congressional delegation. So I want to talk about all three of those things separately and why they should be important to voters. You mentioned turning the page and turning it over to a new generation. But in terms of the fact that you're in your 20s, when most of the average age, as I just mentioned, of people in Congress now is in their late 50s, what's that going to mean? Because how do you respond to folks who say, youth is great, but experience is better?
I agree that experience is important, right? In terms of the candidates in this field, I'm one of the candidates with the most legislative experience, right? Being a sitting legislator now. Look, we are building a multi-generational campaign because folks of all generations recognize the importance of bringing forward a new generation of leadership and putting an end to the chaos and the toxicity and division that we've seen in our politics. But it's not just about electing young leaders, it's about the perspective that we bring on these key issues, right? When it comes to the gun violence epidemic, I come from a generation that has been defined by school shootings. We are called the school shooting generation because I grew up sitting in school shooting drill after school shooting drill. When it comes to the climate crisis, climate experts say we're gonna face the most catastrophic consequences of climate change by 2050. By 2050, I'll still be younger than the average member of Congress, right? There is a perspective and an urgency that we bring to these issues that I think is desperately needed in the halls of Congress.
How about the fact that you are part of the LGBTQ+ community? What should voters know about that? Why should voters care about that? Why would that work to inform your act as your capacity as a member of Congress?
Because I have a personal understanding of the impact of politics, right? My ability to get married is determined by one vote on the Supreme Court, right? And I was starting to get involved around the time of the decision that legalized marriage or that led to marriage equality in this country. So I know from a personal experience. What it means when we see these attacks on the LGBTQ community. I know what it means in terms of the progress that we've made, and it gives me a perspective to fight for vulnerable communities across our state, to fight to stand up for the LGBTQ community that is under attack, especially LGBTQ young people. As a state legislator, I've fought and stood up against efforts to ban books in our state. I've stood up against efforts to ban trans kids from playing in middle school sports, as we've seen attempts here in our state through legislation. I will always stand up for vulnerable communities, understanding what's on the line from a very personal standpoint.
It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Today, it's another of our series of conversations with the candidates. My guest is Delegate Joe Vogel. He is a candidate to fill the open 6th District congressional seat. That's the seat currently held by David Trone, who is giving up that seat to run for Senate. He's in a very close race with Angela also Brooks, the Prince George's County Executive. Our number 410-662-8780. Our email midday@wipr.org. So, Delegate Vogel, let's talk then about the fact that you have immigrant roots. You were born in Uruguay in a Jewish family. Tell us about your family's experience and the reasons that you emigrated to the United States. You were just a little kid when that happened, right?
I was 3 years old, and I immigrated to this community that I live in now. And this community gave me everything, right? It means the world now to be able to serve the community that welcomed me and my family in with open arms over 2 decades ago. Now it's my mission to make sure that every single person in this country is afforded the same opportunities that I was afforded as a kid here in this community. And I think about my parents, my grandparents. My great-grandparents fled to Uruguay as refugees right before the Holocaust. And my grandparents and parents were raised there. But when my parents were young, there was a coup in Uruguay, and my parents spent you know, 12 years of their young lives living under a repressive military dictatorship. So three generations in a row of my family experienced the loss of democracy. So now as we look at the threats facing democracy here at home, it's personal. And I don't want to be the fourth generation in my family to watch us lose democracy in the country I love. That's one of the reasons that I got involved in politics, and one of the reasons that I'm running for Congress now, to protect our democracy, to save our democracy.
So a lot of folks, you know, the term of art has become democracy is on the ballot. In what way is it on the ballot by your reckoning? And what can you, as an individual member of the House of Representatives, do to protect it?
So first, we have to, it's very clear that we have to defeat those who are seeking to undermine, to erode the foundations of American democracy. You look at some of the folks that we're likely to be up against this November in this race, whether it be Dan Cox or Neil Parrott. Dan Cox bussed people to Washington, D.C. on January 6th, and Neil Parrott has contributed to many of these efforts to undermine faith in American democracy. They both have to be defeated, as does Donald Trump this November. But that's not enough, right? And my commitment as a state legislator has been to restore faith in democracy. Right? I speak to so many people, especially young people, who look at government and have lost confidence, and look at democracy and have lost faith. And if we want to protect our democracy, if we want to save our democracy, we can only count on defeating the authoritarians and defeating the wannabe fascists. We have to go a step further and do the work in the halls of Congress to show that government still can function and democracy can still deliver. That will be my commitment as a member of Congress.
Is there particular legislation that you think is you know, significant and important to have passed by Congress in order to accomplish that?
I think we need to change our campaign finance system. We have a campaign finance system where the wealthiest in our country and the powerful corporations and corporate interests have way too much power, which leads to people losing faith in democracy. I also believe that strong unions lead to a stronger democracy, which is why in the legislature I've been a champion for unions, why so many unions are backing our campaign now, and why one of the first actions that I'll take as member of Congress will be to co-sponsor the PRO Act. And then we also have to defend the fundamental rights in this country that make our democracy so strong, right? We know that the attacks by the Supreme Court on women's reproductive health, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, we have to reverse that. And I have said that the first action that I will take as a member of Congress will be to co-sponsor the Women's Health Protection Act. We have to get that passed, restore the rights of women in this country, and show people that government is fighting for the fundamental rights of everyone in the United States.
Delegate Joe Vogel is a candidate to fill the open 6th District congressional seat in Congress. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. It's part of our Conversations with the Candidates series. You are welcome to join us when we come back with Delegate Vogel. Our number here at midday, 410-662-8780. That's the number for midday. That's not the number to use to pledge in our spring membership campaign. Our email, if you'd like to drop us a line with a question or comment for Delegate Vogel, our number, or our address rather, is midday@wipr.org. And by the way, I want to let you know about a debate that I will be co-moderating with Democratic candidates for Baltimore mayor in conjunction with WJZ-TV and the Baltimore Banner. That debate will air live during midday on Tuesday, and it'll be broadcast on WJZ television that evening at 7 o'clock. And on Monday, the day before, right here on midday, I'll speak with the three Democratic candidates for president of the Baltimore City Council. And I'm Tom Hall here in Studio A. Welcome back to Midday. By the way, coming up on our show tomorrow, a conversation with Baltimore City Police Commissioner Richard Worley. Homicides and non-fatal shootings continue to decline here in Baltimore and around the country, and the city has announced another expansion of the group violence reduction strategy. But can police sustain that program with hundreds of patrol vacancies? We'll talk about it tomorrow. And prior to midday tomorrow, we will cover, or we will carry, rather, NPR's live coverage of arguments at the Supreme Court about the issue of presidential immunity. So both those things coming up tomorrow here on WYPR. And if you've just joined us today, We're continuing our series of conversations with the candidates with Delegate Joe Vogel, a first-term delegate in the General Assembly who's running for Congress in the 6th District Democratic primary. That district is currently represented by Democratic Representative David Trone, who's running for Senate in the primary against Prince George's County Executive Angela Alsobrooks. The 6th includes all of Garrett, Allegheny, Frederick, and Washington counties, as well as a portion of Montgomery County. You are welcome to join our conversation. You can drop us an email if you have a question for Delegate Joe Vogel. Our address, midday@wipr.org, or you can give us a call, 410-662-8780. So, Delegate Vogel, thank you for your indulgence as we wrap up our pledge drive this spring. I appreciate it. Let's talk about, you mentioned some of the priorities that you will bring to Congress if you're elected. Of course, the 6th District is big. It has some large counties, you know, as we mentioned, Frederick, Allegheny, Garrett County, Washington County, and the needs of folks, the priorities of folks in some of those larger rural counties are different from those in Montgomery County, for example, which is a more urban environment. What do you see as the top three priorities or so, three or four priorities that you're hearing from people in the district in terms of what's top of mind for them? And is there a tension between the folks in the rural part of your district with the folks in the more urban sections?
So we've been committed over the course of this campaign of earning trust and earning support in every corner of this district. And actually, tomorrow morning, we're kicking off a 6-day tour to all 5 counties in our van here, and visiting over 15 communities in the rural and urban and suburban parts of this district. And my commitment has been over the course of the last year of this campaign of showing up and listening. And what we've heard is, I mean, there are a number of issues. We can't really limit it to 3, but I will. But number one is jobs. Right. There are real concerns in every corner of this district about the need to create good paying jobs. As a state legislator, I've been committed to advancing legislation to do that, to help grow our economy, sponsored and passed a bill that will invest millions of dollars in building out our climate tech industry here in the state of Maryland, creating new jobs and creating new businesses while addressing the climate crisis. Number two is addressing the fentanyl overdose epidemic that we continue to see devastating so many communities across our state. I'm proud to have led on legislation to improve the fentanyl testing in our hospitals, to improve our reporting systems. We got that bill passed with bipartisan support. And the mental health crisis that we continue to see, especially amongst young people. And I'm proud of the work that I've been able to do in the legislature to help recruit and retain more mental health professionals, school psychologists, and school social workers to work in our public schools. But we have a lot more work to do to make sure that we have the necessary resources and infrastructure to address both the mental health crisis and the fentanyl overdose epidemic. And we need the federal government to step up and continue to support us in those efforts.
You mentioned before the break that perhaps it'll be Delegate Neil Parrott, a former delegate from the Maryland General Assembly, or a former delegate Dan Cox, who also ran for governor last time around, who may be the Republican nominee in this race for the 6th District congressional seat. It's a race that folks nationally are paying a lot of attention to. They think it's going to be a very hotly contested race. It seems that if one of those two gentlemen is in fact the nominee for the Republicans, and if that person sticks to the Republican playbook that we've heard articulated from Republicans across the country, the three issues that they're going to talk about are crime, immigration, and inflation, or cost of living. How will you counter that if you end up in a race with one of those two guys when they talk about public safety, security at the border, and literally the price of eggs?
Well, look, both of those folks are very extreme, and the voters in Maryland have rejected them already. I believe that they will reject them again. Look, Neil Parrott was pushing for Western Maryland to secede into West Virginia while Dan Cox was busing people to D.C. on January 6th. They're not focused on solving problems, right? I am. And that's what we'll run on, right? In terms of public safety, you look at the gun violence epidemic that is contributing to the rise in violence that is leading to so many tragic deaths here in our state, in our district, and across the country. We'll be focused on that. We'll be focused on the need to ban assault weapons. We'll be focused on the need to advance universal background checks. We'll be focused on advancing the common sense policies that we need to end this gun violence epidemic that is leading to fear and pain in the lives of so many. When it comes to the border and their focus on the border, right, so many talk about the border in the context of what we're seeing with the fentanyl overdose epidemic. And I'm all for investing in better technologies, investing in technologies and the infrastructure that we need for screening at legal ports of entry, which is where most of these illicit drugs are coming in from. But we also have to recognize there is enough fentanyl in this country already to kill every single American. We have to invest in prevention, treatment, and rehabilitation here at home and make sure that is our focus, right? Tomorrow or Friday, I'll be back at Brooks House in Hagerstown, a nonprofit organization doing remarkable work when it comes to making sure that we have rehabilitation services, treatment services in the community to address the rise in fentanyl overdoses and substance use disorder that we're seeing. That is those are the kinds of programs that we need to be investing in, and those are the issues that we need to be focused on. And lastly, when it comes to the cost of living, you look at the Biden administration and their focus on uplifting working families. You look at my commitment to creating good-paying union jobs, lifting up working families, to expanding the child tax credit, to expanding the earned income tax credit, to lifting the minimum wage. Those are the kind of policies that'll lift up working families.
If you've just joined us, it's Midday, another installment in our series of conversations with the candidates. I'm Tom Hall here in Studio A. My guest on Zoom is Delegate Joe Vogel. He's a first-term delegate from Montgomery County, and he is in the race, which is a very crowded field, 16 candidates in the Democratic primary for the House of Representatives in the 6th Congressional District. If you want to drop us an email with a question for Delegate Vogel, midday@wipr.org is our address. So let's talk, Delegate, a little bit more about immigration, putting fentanyl aside as a dimension of the immigration conversation. But we have Senator Lankford from Oklahoma, a very conservative senator who worked for 4 months, reportedly pounding out a deal with Democrats in the Senate. They came to a compromise. It's a compromise that Democrats had not been willing to make in recent years. Very conservative, what most people classify and you know, summarize as a very conservative answer to border security, et cetera, when it comes to immigration. And then it sits in a drawer in the House of Representatives because Speaker Mike Johnson won't bring it to the floor. As an individual member of Congress, number one, what could be done to move that piece of legislation, which likely would pass if it were introduced on the floor of the House? And number two, overall, what should an immigration policy of the United States look like?
Well, I am an immigrant, right? I'd be the first immigrant elected to Congress in over 200 years in the state of Maryland. And we have to recognize that there is, under current House leadership, with the speaker that we have right now, this bill is not going to move, which is if we want common sense policies when it comes to immigration, if we want a pathway to citizenship, we need to elect a Democratic majority of the House of Representatives this November. Leaders who are going to be focused on actually solving problems and not trying to follow whatever Donald Trump thinks is best for his political pursuits. So in terms of my priorities, I've made it very clear. My priority is going to be standing up for DACA recipients, standing up for Dreamers, standing up for those with TPS status, right? What I hear from when I speak to Dreamers in the state is devastating. They are under consistent legal jeopardy based on whatever one judge decides here or there. That's unacceptable. These are people who are working hard in our state, who are doctors and lawyers and teachers, and they should not be facing the legal jeopardy that they face under this program. We have to create a permanent pathway to citizenship and pass the American Dream and Promise Act. I'm proud to have the support of the sponsor of that bill, Congresswoman Linda Sanchez, and will be committed to getting that passed.
But how do you do that in, again, this, you know, incredibly bifurcated, polarized political environment? Is there, you know, what in your mind is the secret sauce to getting bipartisan agreement on issues like this that I think you're exactly right, an awful lot of Americans would support?
Well, that's the thing, right? We need a Democratic majority. This seat is going to be critical to us flipping the House, and I'm all in to make sure that we hold on to this seat, we keep the seat in Democratic hands, and that we elect whoever the Democratic nominee is for the United States Senate here, so we can hold the Senate, and that we reelect President Joe Biden. So that we have the trifecta that we need to advance these kinds of bills. And we have to be unapologetic when it comes to moving forward on many of these common sense policies that the overwhelming majority of Americans support. Under this current leadership that is more focused on whatever Donald Trump tells them to do than on actually solving problems, we are not going to make the necessary progress. So I wish there was a secret sauce right now, but I think our secret sauce is getting out the vote this November and then fighting hard to advance these common sense policies.
Delegate Joe Vogel, he's running in the Democratic primary for the House of Representatives in the 6th Congressional District in Western Maryland. And if you've just joined us today on Midday, I'm Tom Hall, and it's another installment in our series of Conversations with the Candidates. My guest is Delegate Joe Vogel from Montgomery County. He is running in the May 14th primary election to become the Democratic nominee in the 6th Congressional District. It's in the northwest part of our state. Early voting begins a week from tomorrow. Like the race for the Democratic nomination in the 3rd District, the field in District 6 is large. 16 candidates are seeking the nomination, including a former Commerce Department official, April McLean Delaney, and Takesha Martinez, the mayor of Hagerstown. The 6th District is one of 3 open House seats in this election cycle, along with Districts 2 and 3. Most observers think the general election in the 6th will be the most competitive contest in the state this year. The 7 Republicans on the ballot in the GOP primary include former state delegate Neil Parrott, who has run for the seat 2 other times, and former delegate Dan Cox, the Republican nominee for governor, who lost by a wide margin to Wes Moore in 2022. Delegate Joe Vogel joins us on Zoom. You are welcome to join us as well. Our email, midday@wipr.org, and our phone number, again, not the phone number you use to pledge, but the phone number you use to become part of our conversation here at Midday, 410-662-8780. And Delegate Vogel, we have a caller, John, on the line in Parkville who has a question. John, welcome to the program with Delegate Joe Vogel.
Thank you very much. I appreciate Delegate Vogel's desire to be a private in the Democratic Army in the House. But because he's moving from a district where he represents 100,000 Marylanders and is asking to represent 800,000 Marylanders, I am more interested in electing a captain of Maryland. So my question is, does he realize that Maryland is one of only 6 states that is losing population? And much of that loss is occurring in the district in which he is now running. And what are his plans to have Maryland's population loss reversed?
All right, thanks for that call. John, Delegate, what do you think?
Tom, I'm so sorry I couldn't hear the call.
I'm sorry about that. Something wrong with our Zoom connection, perhaps. But John is asking about the fact that Maryland is losing population, and some of that loss, a good bit of it, is happening in the 6th District, in the western part of the state. So as a member of Congress, what could you do to reverse that population decline?
So thank you for that question, John. And I'm sorry I couldn't hear it from you directly. But look, that's an important, it's an important question and an important concern. That's why I'm committed to making the necessary investments that we need to improve quality of life, to create the necessary jobs here. We continue to see a transportation system that isn't working for all of us. I was just speaking about this with a voter earlier today. I'm committed to expanding MARC service and advocating for the expansion of MARC service into Western Maryland and expanding service here in the metro region as well. That is one of the leading concerns here for voters, that they can't get around in public transit. I'm committed to investing in our schools, proud to have the endorsement of the Maryland teachers in this race and the National Education Association because of my commitment to making sure that Maryland schools are the best in the country. I serve right now on the Education Subcommittee, where we're working on implementing the blueprint for Maryland's future. As I mentioned earlier, my commitment to creating good-paying jobs across the state that will keep people here, bring people here, and improve the quality of life for folks across this district and across the state.
And of course, up till 2022, the population trend here in Maryland was up. It's a little bit more than 6 million people right now, but there are pockets, and I think the caller is right, pockets of decline in population, and that is happening in the western part of the state. Delegate, I want to change the topic to education. You have talked about making college tuition free for all Americans as part of an education platform. Explain how that would work and how it would be paid for and why we would want to do it.
Well, I'm specifically focused on our community colleges. My grandparents never had the chance to graduate from middle school or high school in Uruguay. But in Uruguay, the free higher education system allowed my parents to have the opportunity to get a college degree that then gave them the opportunity to come here to this country. And I believe that higher education, investing in higher education, is what is going to make us competitive with the rest of the world, right? We talk about the threats that we face from other nations and the investments in other nations. You look at China, for example, and the competition that we face. What is going to allow us to continue to lead the way, to continue to have the strongest economy and the strongest nation on earth, is going to be making sure that we have the most educated population in the world. And for me, right, knowing that so many in our country can't afford to be able to go to college to get that degree simply because of a barrier of the cost being the most significant barrier, that's unacceptable. And we also see the levels of student debt that so many in this country are facing, so many in this district are facing. You look at what the most proactive solution to that is, it's lowering the cost of higher education. And I believe that community college, we can get that done. And it's not as expensive as people think it is.
Less than a third of Americans actually attend college, even fewer actually graduate. For the two-thirds who don't choose college or who don't want to go to college, whose career aspirations don't include the need for a college education, what about them? Would free tuition cover trade schools, cover, job training opportunities that are not part of a two- or a four-year college education?
100%. And look, while we want to make sure that we create those pathways to higher education, we also have to recognize that if you go in, whether or not you go to college should not determine your destiny and your ability to have a good paying job and a good income in this country. And so my commitment is making sure that as we look to invest in community college and make that make that free for folks and make higher education more affordable, that we're also investing in trade schools and apprenticeship programs, and that we're also investing in those programs at the high school level. I visited the Community and Technology Center in Frederick. I visited Community and Technology Centers here in Montgomery County as well, which are high school programs where students are not only learning academic skills, but also preparing for jobs that we desperately need right now. We have a shortage of teachers, for example, and I visited the Teachers Academy at the CTC in Frederick the other day, where students are going to their standard classes and then also going, spending the morning at the Teachers Academy, getting the skills that they need and the preparation they need to go out into our communities and eventually, once they have the necessary degrees and accreditation, be able to get be able to become teachers. To me, though, we have to make sure that everyone in this state, everyone in this district, everyone in this country has an opportunity to get ahead. That's why I'm so committed to advancing the cause of unions, passing the PRO Act, making sure that we have strong unions and strong apprenticeship programs through our building trades unions. I've been committed to that as a state legislator. I'll remain committed to that as a member of Congress.
What about President Biden's efforts to cancel student debt?
So I don't think that it's, I don't like to overpromise. And I don't think that universal debt forgiveness is possible, but I think President Biden's plan to forgive student debt is. And if we need legislation to get that done, I would support it. In the legislature, I've been supportive of targeted debt relief measures. As I had mentioned earlier, I led on a bill to that eventually got amended into the Governor's Educator Shortage Act to forgive student debt of mental health professionals working in our public schools to help recruit and retain more mental health professionals. That is unlocking millions of dollars for those mental health professionals. I believe that we need to advance more targeted measures like that while also advancing President Biden's plan. And look, I have a very personal perspective on this, right? I'm probably the only candidate in this race sitting with $40,000 of student loan debt myself. But I also understand that we have to be fair, right? And make sure that the policies that we advance are fair, targeted, and that's what I'll be committed to doing as a member of Congress.
Yeah, you just got a degree from Harvard just last year, so it's fresh out of the oven for you, that's for sure. Let's switch our
A little more than a year ago, but yes.
Let's in our last couple of minutes here talk about foreign policy, particularly aid to Israel. A member of the congressional delegation here in Maryland, Senator Van Hollen, has called for a ceasefire as a premise for additional aid to Israel. Should there be conditions on any aid that we give to Israel? You mentioned that you were happy to see aid to Israel and Ukraine pass this past weekend in the House, and then the Senate finally got around to it as well. The president's expected to sign it today, I think. But in terms of making conditional the aid that we are giving, the military aid that we're giving to Israel, where do you stand on that?
I don't believe in conditioning aid. And I also don't think you can have a unilateral ceasefire. Which is right now, we've seen Hamas reject ceasefires repeatedly. And we've seen, what we've seen since October 7th in Gaza has been just absolutely devastating. But what we saw on October 7th, that pain, that tragedy for so many of those families whose family members are being held hostage, we just saw a video released of Hirsch Polin. I've had the opportunity to meet with his family. He's 23 years old, has been held hostage with his arm blown off since October 7th. And there was just a video that they released that I saw on social media where a hostage video. And you can see his arm blown off. He was at the music festival on October 7th. I heard the story from his family when they were talking to him. He was hiding in a bomb shelter when they started throwing grenades into the, when Hamas started throwing grenades into that bomb shelter, blowing off his arm, and then they took him captive after his friends had been killed. The tragedy that we saw on October 7th, we can never forget. And we have to be, we know what Hamas has said. They have pledged to commit the attack that they did on October 7th again and again and again and again. We can't allow that.
Those stories are just, you know, horrific, but no one would argue with that. But of course, we are looking at tens of thousands of Palestinians who've been killed in the Israeli response. There are a lot of people who think that that response has been disproportionate, that in fact a ceasefire would lead to a quicker release of the hostages. How do you respond to that?
Well, a ceasefire has to be bilateral. You cannot have a one-way ceasefire where Israel puts down its weapons. And we saw, you know, we saw the attack that Iran attempted to conduct just last week. We know that Israel is under grave threat. That doesn't mean that these bombardments should continue. I believe that we need to put pressure as a country on Israel to make sure that they are abiding by humanitarian laws and how they conduct their war, and that there needs to be a surge in humanitarian assistance. What is happening right now in terms of humanitarian assistance is just unacceptable. So that's where I think where the United States needs to play an active role in also pursuing a two-state solution moving forward after this war, so that there can be peace in the region. But I don't believe there can be peace with Hamas in charge.
Delegate Joe Vogel is running in the Democratic primary in the 6th Congressional District. Delegate, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Tom.
And you can hear all of our conversations with the candidates when you go to our website, wypr.org/midday, and when you subscribe to our podcast. Our series continues next week on Monday. The Democratic candidates for Baltimore City Council president will join me here on Midday. And on Tuesday, I'll be one of the moderators in a debate with Democratic candidates for mayor that you'll hear during Midday and again that evening on Tuesday night on WJZ Television with Denise Koch and Emily Sullivan. Denise of WJZ Television and Emily, of course, of Baltimore Banner will moderate that debate.